Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds delivered her Condition of the State address on Tuesday evening, and today I'm being joined by State Senator Jeff Taylor, a Republican from Sioux Center. Senator, what was your initial reaction to the governor's Condition of the State address?
Well, Dennis, I liked the speech. I was impressed with a lot of the proposals that she made. I think most all the things that she brought forward, I think are going to have a warm, if not enthusiastic, reception when those proposed bills and ideas come to the legislature. Obviously, the Republicans having the majority in both chambers helps, but nevertheless, not all Republicans agree with one another on every issue, but I thought it was a very broad-based speech. Trying to address the problems that we have, but also building on the successes that we already have in our state. So I commend the governor.
Now, some of the points that she was making, of course, she kind of started out by talking about the tax cuts, and that's something that Republican leaders in both the House and Senate have been commenting on. But one thing that I think that kind of came out of the blue a little bit was her proposal on a flat tax, a 4% flat tax, calling it fair and flat and fair. Your reaction, your response to a flat tax, is that an answer, a suitable answer? There are not very many states that actually have implemented a straight across the board flat tax.
Right. Well, I think it's the start of a solution. I know, you know, some legislative leaders have been talking about eliminating the income tax altogether. Now, her flat tax, it would be a gradual introduction of the flat tax. It wouldn't be overnight to make sure that we have adequate revenue stream. That phasing in wouldn't preclude us eventually doing away with the income tax altogether. Now, if this is seen as an alternative to eventual elimination of the income tax, there may be some pushback in the legislature. I see both advantages and disadvantages to a flat tax. The obvious advantage is that there is a certain equality where everybody has to pay the same amount. If it's truly flat and you eliminate all deductions, loopholes sometimes can benefit those who can afford to pay an accountant or a tax attorney to find those loopholes, whereas a lot of average income people aren't able to do that. I think there's fairness there. There can be a downside with the elimination of certain exemptions that can hit the middle class or lower income people more disadvantaged way. So that, you know, there could be a regressive aspect to a flat tax that I think, you know, we have to look at just to make sure that everybody benefits across the board. So I don't know. I think that took me by surprise, but I think the legislature is going to give it a respectful hearing.
All right. One of the other areas that she addressed was, of course, child care and developing more child care centers, specifically noting one of your a child care center in your district, and that was at Hall, the Bright Star Daycare Center.
Yep.
Your thoughts about, you know, what is it that Iowa needs to do to give Iowa families a better break on child care development and access to child care and affordable child care?
Sure. Well, I was gratified to hear her call attention to, yes, the folks in Hall that have been responsible for creating that child care center. That's always wonderful to hear people locally acknowledge for the good work they're doing. I think the state can help with that. There's different incentives, subsidies that can be provided directly by the state in terms of financial assistance. It could be a more roundabout kind of approach of helping local communities to promote and encourage the development of local child care. It is a real problem. And for the last, 2 years that I've been involved with state government, that's a recurring theme. The worker shortage in the state of Iowa and elsewhere in the country, that's also a theme, but a lack of child care, quality child care at the local level, it keeps coming up time and time again. Now, not every parent is going to want to take advantage of that, and that's fine. I understand that, but it's not for everyone. But if you have both parents who are working full-time, or if you have a single parent who needs to work full-time to support the family, then that may be an option that's needed. So we want to make sure that those kids have access to quality child care. So I was gratified that she called attention to that.
All right. The other area I wanted to kind of talk about is she focused a little bit of attention on education, saying that
yep.
she wants to use the federal ESSER funds to give a $1,000 bonus or retention, whatever you want to say, to educators because of their work through the COVID-19 era. In addition to that, she also talked about for our law enforcement folks to also give a $1,000 retention bonus for their commitment to law enforcement. Is this a practical solution? Is this a practical thing to do? And then I will tell you that you probably did not see this or anything, of course, but on public television, the commentary by Jennifer Confers, who is the House Minority Leader, was saying, well, what about health care officials? That we've had a lot of
yep.
nurses that probably have went through the grinder on COVID, and they too should probably receive some type of a retention
sure.
bonus pay.
Sure. Well, I guess I have two responses. First, I'll say the positive response, and I'll say the little bit more negative response to the question. The positive is I think it's great, and I think it is practical. This is federal money that's coming to us. It's not coming out of the directly out of the taxpayer pockets of Iowans, you know, directly. Of course, in the end, it all comes from the taxpayers, whether it's from Iowa or other states. But I think this is good use of those federal COVID funds. And I salute her for rewarding those teachers that did show up in person last year to teach, which didn't happen in a lot of states. And we'll also make a commitment to continue to teach in the state of Iowa for the coming year. So that will, you know, help not only reward past good conduct, good teaching practices, but also act as an incentive for the coming year. And same thing with law enforcement. Now, my more negative comment in terms of the minority leader in the House, that comment, it seems a little petty to criticize the governor for doing a good deed or two good deeds to reward a certain Iowan or Iowa workers and then complain that, well, what about this group of workers? Well, there's lots of workers. Certainly the nurses and the healthcare professionals have done good work over the last 2 years, and yes, they should be honored, and perhaps at some point they should be getting some sort of a retention bonus as well. But I think it's a little petty, a little bit of just a political carping on the part of the House Minority Leader to complain about that. And the second thing I'd say is that we've seen Democrats, both in the state of Iowa and nationally, they are the ones who have been pushing hardest the COVID vaccine mandates that are resulting in a lot of nurses being either fired or coerced into taking a vaccine that they don't want and or don't need. And so it's a little bit rich, the Democratic leadership, acting as though they're defenders of nurses, when in many cases they are helping to push federal mandates that are resulting in the firing of nurses. And so that seems a little ironic to me.
All right. Senator, I'll let you have kind of the last word. Anything else that either surprised you or you were pleased about on the comments by the governor on her condition of the state of the dress?
Well, I mean, Dennis, you asked good questions, called attention to a lot of the most important aspects. You know, certainly she talked about the worker shortage. We don't want to incentivize not working. We certainly do want to help the people who are out of work through no fault of their own. But we want a reasonable period in which they're on, you know, taxpayer government assistance. We don't want them just to get used to not going to work but getting paid. That doesn't help anybody, including the worker themselves, in the long run. So I thought that's something that we need to look at, and the specifics of that we'll have to work out in the legislature. The other thing she mentioned, I spent a little bit of time on books in school libraries, talking about some books that on the one hand could be seen as obscene, but then on the other hand are also kind of promoting political and moral viewpoints that many parents are going to object to, and understandably so. I like that she struck a balance there. We don't want to be book banners. We don't want to go against the freedom of teachers and librarians and parents to have a variety of points of view in the libraries, but there do have to be some lines drawn. This isn't, we're not talking about public libraries for adults, we're talking about libraries for children. So I do believe there is a way of coming up with some norms or rules that aren't going to violate freedom, not going to violate individual conscience and choice, but at the same time having a common sense approach where parents do get the final say on what their kids are learning and being exposed to in school. So I think we have to have a nuanced approach to that, and hopefully we'll be able to do that in the legislature this year.
And last thing I have is, of course, the session got started on Monday, and you worked today, of course. What were some of the initial laws or bills that have been introduced in the state Senate so far?
Well, so far we haven't considered anything. We're just, this is the second day, we're just getting started, and so we've got, those bills will be coming. Some of them have been drafted already, but we haven't had any subcommittee hearings yet where we've actually looked at any new legislation. So some of it is we're just waiting for that to happen. It's probably going to take a week or so before, those bills in the pipeline show up at the subcommittee level where three of us on the Senate side get together and decide whether or not that bill should go forward to the full committee. There's also some bills that went through subcommittee last year that are still alive, and some of those will be coming back this session as well, including my cold case unit bill. So I would say today, mostly what I did, in addition to talking to different folks, was I spent time in committees. So we got a couple different committees meeting for the first time where we did introductions, and I just kind of got the ball rolling. So gradual move toward the actual bill at this point.
All right, sounds good. I've been visiting with State Senator Jeff Taylor, Republican from Sioux Center.